You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where if we had 300 soldiers, every American could have a personal bodyguard. I'm your host, Justin M. Wisniewski, and woo, boy, are we in for a hell of an episode here, hell of a trip into the midside here. I think it's full of a lot of malarkey, as Daniel or Joe Biden might say. I'm really just glad, honestly, even though we only have two stories, I'm really just glad that I don't have to talk for 45 straight minutes by myself. I'm just really glad about that. So why don't we just get into it? I'm going to introduce my co-hosts after you pause the episode and tell a friend. All right, did you just do that? Good. Thank you. Joining me this trip from our nation's capital, Daniel T. Richards.
Boy, oh boy, is the farce spreading at an unprecedented rate. I think by this time next week, the entire country may be infected with farce. It's that quick, Justin. It's everywhere, all the time, lurking on every surface, waiting to jump up and eat your face. Eat your face with farce.
I mean, are you making a bath salt zombie joke because I'm in Florida?
I'm just referring to the overall state of panic the country is in, and now that DC has been added to the list of infected cities, as I see the headline, because a CPAC attendee was tested positive with coronavirus. I just feel like I have to be part of it, you know? Part of the culture here is going to be everyone freaking out all the time, so why not? Why not join in? It's kind of fun.
You know, you just made me think of something, and we'll say this, and then we'll introduce William, because we're going to save all the corona talk for later, but I just realized at least we know how everyone would react if the zombie apocalypse really did happen and start spreading. This is like a test run. This is a dry run for the zombie apocalypse.
Except that would be more realistically serious than this.
I don't know if I'd be scared of the zombie apocalypse now. All right. Anyway, joining us from Dale's Lawn, identifying as a woman to forego his white male gay privilege, William Green.
Hello, hello. I, too, am glad I don't have to listen to you talk for 45 straight minutes. No, I'm just kidding.
Great episodes.
I did listen while I was on the slopes of Keystone in Colorado last weekend. I listened to both episodes, giggling the entire time I'm snowboarding down the mountain. It was great.
I'm sorry I ruined your ski trip. I'm amazed you didn't Sonny Bono listening to me.
Yeah, that's, you know, I was at the reference. I was at the grocery store, and surprisingly plenty of corona there. I don't know what's going on. The poor beer company.
That's true. No, you can go lost to the store, you can't get toilet paper, but you can buy corona.
I think I talked about it on this show, how every time there was some sort of snowstorm, it was like milk, okay, bread, okay, and toilet paper. Who needs so much toilet paper? I don't understand.
If there's any positive of the coronavirus craziness, it's that people are drinking less corona. That really is an upside here. Hopefully they're being exposed to other delicious beers and not urine in a bottle.
How long before corona is forced to change its name? I know they've changed the virus's name like three times. So,
you know what?
I thought they
should
embrace it. I thought they should just full on start running ads about their beer and the virus. So, you know, something like grab
how
a
it
corona
spreads
and
through casual contact.
Cuddle up with someone who has Lyme disease. Match made in heaven.
You know what they should do with all this? I like that, Daniel. I like leaning into it. They should do all of that, and then in the culmination of it, just rebrand themselves Trump Beer.
But we'll save that for the coronavirus section. Speaking of leaning into it.
Oh, okay. I thought you were doing the transition, and then you just stopped. Also, no, leaning in has some weird feminist implications, so why don't we just talk about the party that, even though they claim they're diverse and all about minorities, aren't in the news with Daniel T. Richards.
Well, I assure you, Mr. Listener, it really is that bad. These aren't harmless criminals. This isn't just a fad.
Well, the one thing that remains the same in all of this farce is that we're here to serve up some hot analysis of some social justice craziness. And if you enjoy that, why don't you go to patreon.com/themidside and throw in a couple bucks every time we produce one of these things. It helps us keep the lights on. Who else kept the lights on this week was Joe Biden.
Wait, I want to say something first when you're talking about throwing us a couple bucks, because I don't know if you've seen this on social media. It is International Women's Day, and apparently many women have taken to social media to saying, PayPal me or Venmo me money for International Women's Day. We won't be doing that with the money.
What? Just Venmo them because
really?
Because
I was about to say, pen pal me or Venmo me money. During the show, because I do identify as a woman.
If that's the case, I identify as a woman for today. Yeah, along with William over here.
That's literally what the tweets are saying. It's like, oh, I'm a woman. To celebrate Women's Day, send me money.
For people who think that money is the root of all evil, my God, they want a lot of it. Anyway, so Joe Biden kept the lights on of his campaign this week by dominating Super Tuesday, perhaps against all odds. And it looks like at this point that Joe Biden is the front runner to win the nomination, much like he was when he entered the race. And then people saw who he was, and then it dropped off, and now it's back again. So here's what happened on Super Tuesday. Joe Biden won Texas, and he won Minnesota, and he even won Maine. He beat Bernie Sanders in Maine. And he did well in Virginia and other places. And in fact, in California, where Bernie Sanders won, the late ballots that are coming in, the way California votes is, like all things it does, dumb. And one of the things you can do is mail in your ballot, and it can be postmarked on Election Day. So there are literally millions of ballots still in the mail to be counted. And if those ballots follow the trend of the rest of the country, they will probably break for Joe Biden, as people who are going to the polls on Tuesday who had no idea who they were going to vote for, who are these people, overwhelmingly voted for creepy Uncle Joe. And so even Sanders' California lead may be cut by the time all the votes are counted. And it looks like Sanders has a slim but still possible chance of even winning a plurality of delegates. Justin, is this a mass rejection of socialism by the country, or is it once again two bad candidates and their people are choosing who they consider to be the lesser of two idiots?
Well, first of all, false dichotomy, bro. So that's the first thing I want to say. It's always between a giant douche and a turd sandwich, right? I mean, yes. South Park established that in one of their greatest pieces of commentary. And again, to clarify for the people out there who know that I don't vote, and for those of you who are new listeners, I don't vote. And it's not because it's always between a giant douche and a turd sandwich. It's because it's rigged. I believe the system's rigged, it's broken, it's all corrupt, so that's why I don't vote until it's fixed. But sidestepping all of that, I think there's an interesting question here that's the other side or the underneath of your question, and I'd love to hear what you guys think of it. I can't tell if they're rejecting socialism or this is just their attempt to beat Trump. And what I mean by that is Joe Biden is definitely portraying himself as a more centrist Democrat, a more centrist leftist, which sounds like an oxymoron. But it seems like the left's best portrayal of themselves in order to beat Trump, because they're saying, oh, well, Trump's so crazy, the middle of the road right voters may go to the middle of the road a little bit to the left to pick someone. So they picked Biden. Or on the other hand, is this just them giving up? Is this just them saying, you know what, we're not going to beat Trump. We know we're not going to beat Trump. So we're going to put Biden out there as sort of a sacrificial lamb because we don't want to waste our really hard left, far left candidate for when we can actually get control. And then it may not be Sanders, but then one day they will run someone like Sanders with his belief systems, or maybe they'll try and put up Elizabeth Warren again when Trump's gone, because then they think that that's when they can really take the country, because they think there will be a backlash against Trump. So those are the sort of two approaches I think they could be having, and that's what I think this whole Biden thing represents.
I have an alternative establishment take, which I'll save for a moment. Meanwhile, I'll bring William in. William, speaking of leaning in from earlier, do you think Biden would win in a landslide if he leaned into his campaign with something like a slogan of vote boring, vote Biden? Because I'm not even sure it's the centrism thing that people are so into. It's that he's so boring. He's not Trump. He's just meh. Is that appealing to some people?
I don't know. I think people underestimate how little people pay attention to politics. This is just name recognition. Like 80% of it is going to be name recognition. And the media has been screaming Trump for so long. Is there any hope for any other Democratic candidate to get any name recognition? I mean, that's really what this comes down to, right?
That's an interesting idea, William. The idea that most people don't pay attention to the media, but they hear buzzwords. And if the buzzword is Trump over and over again, then that's the only candidate they know. So he therefore is the only candidate that has a chance. That's a very interesting idea.
Yeah, they starved the field. Too many Democrats, and they starved the media landscape.
Yeah, which is why, I mean, I think the best illustration of your point, William, is that once Buttigieg, Klobuchar dropped out before Super Tuesday, the Democrats consolidated late around Biden. Why? Because I think most of them wanted an alternative to Sanders, but it was too fragmented. And when there was only one realistic choice, Biden, they went, well, we'll pick that guy. And it had very little to do with ideology, I think. I have an anti-establishment take on this, Justin, which is the Democratic Party saw what Trump did to the Republican Party last time around, and I don't think they're interested in that, in having Sanders do that to their party. Because the thing about winning the nomination is you don't just win the nomination. You actually get to basically fire everyone at the national convention and put in your own people. And I don't think the Democrats, who are as establishy as anyone gets, wanted a guy, Sanders, who is not even a Democrat, mind you, to come in, clean house, and put his own people in and perhaps make them the left version of Donald Trump. So I think they did pretty much everything in their power to make sure that Biden surged late, including having Obama call Buttigieg and having a nice talk with Klobuchar about her reelection campaign for the Senate, etc., so that people coalesced around sleepy Uncle Joe.
I mean, that sounds reasonable to me, and it shows how corrupt politics are all the way down, right? It's even, they're not even doing what they think is right on the level of their party. They're just doing what will protect themselves, because that's what these people are. They're career politicians. I mean, that's the continued issue here, right? Is they're career politicians.
Right. And look, there's a simple thing here. Well, it's not simple, but it's illustrative, I think, which is the Democratic Party, especially the more left of the party, complains vehemently about the Electoral College. It's complicated. It's antiquated. It doesn't reflect the popular vote. So why does the Democrats have a very complicated primary system that's state-based and antiquated and has caucuses and some primaries that also doesn't reflect the popular vote? So they can mess with it. That's why. If they really wanted to, they could have a national primary. All states vote on Super Tuesday, and the candidate who gets the majority of votes gets the nomination. Why not? Super Democratic reflects the will of the majority. But no, they also want a complicated, antiquated process so they can fiddle with it on the back end.
Right. I mean, Daniel, look, we all know the right has its problems, and obviously those problems resulted in Donald Trump as president of the United States of America. But the thing about the left has always been, whatever they say the issue is what they're doing themselves. And this is a perfect example of it. I mean, anything you look at, what they say is the problem is what they are doing themselves. And it's because they believe, and I've said this before, this is the interpersonal hostility thing. This is the whole idea of, and this is why Bernie Sanders gets traction. It's the whole Marxist idea that comes from the idea of there's an oppressor and there's an oppressed. They don't believe in the traitor principle. They don't believe in mutually beneficial outcomes. They believe one person is always taking advantage of another, so they want to make sure they're the person doing the taking advantage of. And what you're saying is, basically, that has resulted in Joe Biden as their nominee because pragmatically that's the best way to protect themselves.
Yeah. William, what do you think of people who are going to cast a vote for Biden who are traditionally not left or Democrat because they think Trump is outside of the normal of bad? I've even seen this argument from some objectivists.
I think it's a mistake. Just don't vote. If you don't like either candidate, just don't vote. This lesser of two evil logic doesn't make any sense to me.
I'm just saying, one day people are going to realize I'm ahead of the curve, and then we're all going to vote again when The Rock runs for president. That's all I'm saying.
On the arm butter ticket.
Oh, you
so
missed it.
I think that's right.
You missed it, Daniel, because you weren't on the show and you didn't listen to my solo episode.
Correct.
In the Sonic the Hedgehog movie, at one point Sonic gets knocked out and they bring him to like another random place. And when he wakes up, he does the whole like, who am I? What's going on? Where am I thing? And one of the things he says during that segment is he goes, where am I? When is it? Is The Rock president?
Nice.
It's going to happen. I'm telling you.
We're just all going to will it to happen. It's going to be such a fait accompli by the time he runs that it's just going to happen. I think that's right, William. And in fact, I'm going to admit this on the show, even though I might get some hate mail. That's fine. When it was looking like Sanders was on the trajectory to be the nominee, I actually considered for a moment voting for Trump. That's right. I said it. I'm not proud of it.
Wow.
But I did have the thought. Now that he is no longer on the trajectory, and I wasn't even convinced I was going to. I just thought about it. Now that it's going to be Biden, I'm going to go comfortably back to my my shared conviction with Justin of vehemently not voting because everyone is terrible. So I didn't know that my never Trumpism had a tiny, tiny asterisk on it for socialist.
Well,
on
I mean,
the other side.
That's a avowed fair
socialist.
Asterisk.
They're all socialists, but so it's going to be fun. And DC is a rockin', let me tell you. They're all a buzz. This is what they live and die for here in the Pan-Am of America. But most of the country, I think, is talking about my coronavirus. In fact, South by Southwest, the film music arts festival, has been canceled because of concerns over the coronavirus outbreak, officials
said.
It's not
just that. A ton of things are being canceled.
I know. This was one that I was hoping would hold out as an example. But
this story is an exemplar of all those other things, William.
Yes. So, okay. So, South by Southwest.
Because I want to be clear, the reason I wanted to use this story to let you guys know a little behind the curtain here is I was reading Twitter and I saw a tweet about South by Southwest being canceled due to Corona. And my immediate reaction was that it was a satirical tweet making fun of the Corona panic. And then I found out it was really they were canceling it. And I was just like, all right, we're done. America's over.
So organizers released a statement saying, we are devastated to share this news with you. The show must go on is in our DNA, and this is the first time in 34 years that the March event will not take place. We are now working through the ramifications of this unprecedented situation. But let's be clear here. The festival was canceled by order of Austin Public Health. And Dr. Mark Escott, the interim medical director and authority for Austin Public Health, said new evidence shows that allowing the festival to continue could quickly spread COVID-19 throughout Austin and Texas and the United States. But high-profile companies, including Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Mashable, had already decided against attending
the
festival.
Couldn't it also spread herpes and
bad ideas?
I know people were less concerned about all of the athletes fucking in the Olympic Village and spreading STDs around the world than they are about this.
Also, organizers, though,
everyone who used TikTok died. Wouldn't that make the world better?
I have proudly never been on TikTok, so I have no idea.
Oh, I have a I have a TikTok related asterisk to this story. The word from Wuhan province is because all the children are quarantined out of school. They decided to require them to download an app to get their homework and interact with their teacher. Well, the kids figured out if they all one-starred the app, it would get pulled from the Google Play Store. So it did.
Children's ingenuity is just going to beat communism is what's going to happen.
So there are lots of questions about if the tickets here will be refunded, which the South by Southwest website says no reimbursements under any circumstance whatsoever. They're very clear about
that.
Whoa,
think of all the money they're going to make.
They're going to try to do an online version, like a virtual South by Southwest experience.
Maybe they'll do it in Second Life.
Is that still around? Do people know what that is?
No.
Okay.
It's a great timely joke there, Pops.
Wow. Any floppy disk humor you want to throw around? Or?
Yeah, I got that saved for next week.
So, okay, gentlemen. Justin, here it goes. Are we overreacting as a culture, as a society, as a world about COVID-19?
Oh, that's to me? That's my question?
Yes. You are the host.
No, my entire apartment is filled up with toilet paper right now. I just went to Sam's Club and I bought all of their toilet paper. And they were like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm beating all these other motherfuckers here. Nobody else gets any fucking toilet paper in Florida.
Toilet paper cures coronavirus.
I don't understand this at all. Like, I have so many questions about this. And it's really interesting that this is happening right now when I moved to Florida from California. And that I just did two episodes, basically, and William can attest to this for you, Daniel, about the differences between Florida and California. And now California has declared a state of emergency. LA has declared a state of emergency. Orange County has declared a state of emergency, all because of like one case. Something wanted to happen. Oh yeah. They wanted to move some patients down to Orange County because they have better facilities. And Orange County was like, no, you're not bringing the fucking patients to Orange County. We have a state of emergency. So just everything about California being fucking crazy is like being exemplified in this whole thing. And it's really hard for me not to say correlation is causation in this case. And I don't mean that leftists are causing the coronavirus, but I mean leftists are causing the panic. You know, one of the places I considered moving was Austin. Remember, Daniel? It was on the... I know you love Austin.
I do.
Or you loved, I'm hoping now. But
not for the city government, but...
Well, and that's the reason I wouldn't move there, right? That was one of the places on my short list I had visited. I liked it when we went to your wedding. It's a nice place. And I was going to visit it again and decide and look for jobs. But then I realized all the people from California are moving there. And it has the really leftist government. It's just going to be California in 20 years. And I don't want to be in 20 years like that. So am I wrong for making this observation that it seems to be, you know, Washington State, California, Austin? These are the places that seem to be overreacting to this and driving this overreaction. I mean, at one point, 11 people had died in this country, and 8 of them were in the same nursing home outside Seattle.
So you're saying it is an overreaction, just to be clear.
Yeah, I'm saying it's an overreaction, and tell me I'm not wrong for saying it's
well, Dr. Drew tells you you're right.
Well, I know, Doctor, that's part of why, like, don't even get me started on this, where since the beginning, so since I've been here, when I've gone to the gym, I'm trying to get back into the Adam and Dr. Drew show. And since the beginning of this whole thing, Dr. Drew said that it's less deadly than the flu. Nobody has anything to worry about if they're not immunocompromised already, right? If they're not old or have some pre-existing condition. I was like, oh, you know, just like any other thing. And then Adam Carolla said his typical thing where he's like, this is narcissism. It's people thinking I'm going to get this and I'm going to die. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. I don't think I'm going to get this. I don't think I'm going to die. I don't think this is going to affect me. So I think both of them have correct takes. But my take on this is, convince me this isn't some leftist fear-mongering campaign.
Ooh.
Convince me of that, because that's what this seems like to me.
Well, William, we'll let you go. We'll talk about numbers that we know of so that we're not spreading fake news. We'll talk about actual numbers here in a moment. But, William, is this the Trump virus?
Yes. That's what's what I see all over Twitter and YouTube right now, is people are, you know, don't let a good crisis go to waste. Clearly, this shows ineptitude because the government is doing nothing about coronavirus and its spread. And while there are lots of valid criticisms sprinkled in there, like, for example, the FDA not approving the test that is effective to test for coronavirus, there's also a lot of just hysterics. I mean, I can predict who is blaming Trump based on their previous tweets. And calling it the Trump virus is, I don't know. We give presidents too much credit when it comes to the economy going up. And apparently, Trump engineered this virus to lose the election, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what conclusion we're supposed to draw.
I guess he's tired of winning.
But this is part of the conspiracy, isn't it? Isn't it them trying to find something to scare everyone to convince them to vote left? Isn't that what this is? Isn't this just the latest thing?
It seems to be the only thing that's stuck. I'll give you that. The media has found something that they can attach to Trump that people actually apparently are ready to attach to Trump, which is really weird that it's this, but nonetheless. So what do we know about the novel coronavirus, known now as COVID-19, a.k.a. the Trump bug? What do we know about it? Well, the CDC came out with, not the CDC, the World Health Organization, WHO, came out with numbers saying that there have so far been 3,100 deaths with 91,000 cases. I'm rounding here. And
wait,
if you just simply
3,100 deaths out of over 7 billion people?
Yes. Let me get there. Let me get there.
I don't want to go.
So if you just do a simple division of the exact numbers that they gave, you get a 3.4% mortality rate, i.e. the percent chance you will die if you get the bug. So is that right? Because some countries are seeing a quote-unquote higher mortality rate, some countries are seeing a quote-unquote lower mortality rate. Is that the right way to think about it?
Does that difference in mortality rate have to do whether they're first world or third world?
Maybe, but also lots of other things. So yes, the answer to your question is emphatically yes. But also, to add to your point,
they're collectivist.
It's a misleading statistic if you take it on its own with no context whatsoever. So, for instance, many countries aren't testing people, or they don't have the resources to test people. So we have no idea how many people
actually
have.
Or it's a waste of fucking time to test people.
Coronavirus, i.e. COVID-19, i.e. Trump AIDS. but one country that is civilized and has decided that it wants to spend the resources to do so, South Korea, is testing at a rate of about 10,000 people a day, and they're going to try to get that up to 15 or 20,000 people a day. They're even setting up drive-through testing facilities so that you don't actually have to go into a healthcare system. So they've tested around, as of March 2nd, 110,000 people.
And now they have the DNA of 110,000 of their citizens on file.
There's your libertarian self coming out. So they have found more than 6,000 cases now of their 110,000 people and 37 deaths, putting their fatality rate at 0.6%. And they think this number will go lower, and many smart people do, including Yale researchers, because they think, and Yale researchers think, that we've actually had probably 10,000 plus cases of coronavirus in the United States already, and many more around the world already, and people aren't dying from it. You're only hearing about people dying in a couple scenarios. One, it's the most severe of cases, and two, the most severe of cases are often linked to pre-existing conditions and old age, just like, Justin, every other disease on the planet. So when all is said and done,
voting for Trump.
I should have. That would have been funnier. So we probably will see the mortality rate drop significantly. Some researchers are saying it's 0.2% or even 0.1%. And that puts it on par with the flu. It really does. And it may spread quicker or slower. There's conflicting data on that as well. It's not going to be as deadly as the flu when all is said and done. It's just not. One of the interesting things is that even with the CDC, when I mean WHO, even with WHO's numbers, when you look at mortality rates based on age, if you are under 50 years old, it is 0.2%. 0.2%. And then when you get up into your upper 70s and over 80, it jumps significantly to 8% and then almost 15% respectively, most likely because you have a pre-existing condition. So everyone, are you ready? Are you listening out there? Take a deep breath, wash your hands, and calm the fuck down. It's going to be okay. Listen to my soothing tenor voice. You will be fine. Please stop tanking the world economy over what should have been called a bad cold.
Hey, Daniel.
Thank you. Yes.
Who's more corrupt?
Oh. Who?
Yes.
Who? Who?
Yes. Yes.
I feel like we're in a routine here from vaudeville days.
Yeah, I was referencing Abbott and Costello. But yes. What you just said about like tanking the world economy, this is the thing I don't fucking understand, right? Because even my students understand a lot of what you just said. And part of it's me telling them about it, where I'm like, you have nothing to worry about. It's less harmful than the flu. You're all healthy. You're fine. So part of it's that. But they understand, and like generally life is going on here in Florida, like there's no such thing as the coronavirus. The only time I ever see it is when I go in the gym, and in the locker room there's local news coverage on it, and they always show Asians with the coronavirus. It's hilarious. They're like, oh, let's talk about the coronavirus. Let's interview the local Chinese restaurant owner. I'm like, wow, okay, maybe there is racism. Maybe I'm wrong. But that's the only time. Like life is going on here. So I don't understand how it legitimately can be affecting the stock market and the world economy in this way.
Well,
I just don't get it.
There are lots of theories. You know, Peter Schiff tends to think that we probably needed a reset anyway. There was too much of a bubble and we needed a sell-off. So this was as good an excuse as any. And that the world economy generally wasn't as healthy as it was sort of propped up to be. I get that. There was some concern about Bernie Sanders and his trajectory. I get that. So lots of things, but the canceling of festivals and people not flying and this stuff, really, guys, we need to cut it out because it's going to be devastating and we're doing it to ourselves. William, just a little side note here for you. Usually when we talk about diseases, especially like flu, we talk about how it really hurts the old and the young. But coronavirus appears to really be about pre-existing conditions. Do you know how many people have died worldwide of coronavirus, 9 or younger?
No idea.
None. I'll say that again. Zero.
So this is
no
a
fatalities.
Conspiracy to vote for Bernie.
No one 9 or younger has died of coronavirus. It's not even affecting our children, who are susceptible to the flu and other bad diseases at a much higher rate than older people, not 80s. But this is really about pre-existing conditions. It really is. If you have heart disease, if you have upper respiratory diseases, if you have diabetes, you are at a higher risk of dying with this disease. But if you are healthy, if you're just average, you're fine. You're going to be fine. You're going to be
Hey, I'm slightly fine. Above average. Okay.
Yes. So it's craziness.
Well, you want to know something's even crazier? So I saw this tweet from Kumail Nanjiani, you know, the Pakistani comedian who's becoming more of a household name as an actor. He started on Franklin and Bash. Now he's going to do a Marvel movie. I know you know him because your wife's Pakistani. That's like asking fucking Filipinos if they know who Joe Coy is. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus. All right.
Racist.
This is the tweet. I know the coronavirus isn't that scary for a lot of people. Many of you are young and healthy and will be able to defeat it without medical help. But think of those who are immunocompromised. Your caution keeps them safe. Wash your hands, and if you're sick, try and stay away from crowds. I can't help but point out that no matter what happens every time, there are people who try to make it about the people who can't survive. Exactly, yes. Who can't survive in reality. And what I mean by that is, in freedom, with freedom, and then with meritocracy, it is the strongest survive. You live in line with reality, you're able to survive. Now, you can make yourself strong enough to survive. Now, that means, unfortunately, there are other people who are born in certain ways or things happen to them where they're just unable to cope with reality in certain ways. But that's why we're supposed to have the infrastructure of healthy community built on the family structure. But that's been undermined so that these people can flip the Swiss system and they can be the ones in charge running things because they can't ever run it on their own because they're too weak. So they need to make the system about making the weak the strong. And it happens in everything. And that tweet is an example of it.
Well, to put a less fine point on Professor Nietzsche's rant there.
That was a Nietzsche rant. Really? Really?
I'm seeing you getting fit for your brown coat next week, I'm sure.
Always follow Captain Malcolm Reynolds, obviously, the brown coats.
That's right.
I aim to misbehave.
That's right. Look, wash your hands, but if we needed a new virus to tell us to wash our hands, we were pretty stupid in the first place. And if you're sick, stay home. It doesn't matter what you have. You probably don't have coronavirus, but don't go to work. Don't go out. Just stay home for a little while until you're less sick. These are all basic things that are just courteous human beings acting in a courteous way when we have to deal with other human beings. And we don't have to worry about our immunocompromised friends or the differently abled or however you want to spin this. Just be a goddamn human being and respect other people as you wish to be respected. So if you're vomiting or whatever, don't go to work. Just chill. Vomit in your own home. And we'll all be fine. We'll all get through this. Please stop tanking the world economy.
First of all, Daniel, who, when they're vomiting, wants to go to work? I'm the kind of person that, you know, I have a high pain threshold and I will push through and like work out and go to work no matter what. But if I'm vomiting, I'm like, I'm not moving. I am not moving. Like, when you are vomiting and you move, you want to vomit again. So when you start feeling that way, you're like, I'm just going to lay here until I either die or start to feel better. It literally becomes that point. So first of all, who are these people? Second of all, how about respecting yourself, first of all? And what I mean by that is just fucking take care of yourself so you are clean and you're a cleanly person. And I don't know, don't fucking go to places that are disgusting and interact with other people in ways that would artificially put you in contact with them when you don't need to. How many fucking people do you touch on a daily basis, Daniel? I'm going to bet it's not many, okay? Not many. And then, okay, you're not going in places where you touch people that are weird or touch things that are weird. Like, the example I have is like, okay, so the high school wrestling mats, right? When I was in high school, we were super crazy about making sure the mats are clean. Here, they're not. They wash them, and then somebody will just walk on the mat in their shoes. But me, I had to go on the mat sometimes during the tournament to, like, touch the ref and say, oh, hey, time. The time's over. Knowing that, when I went in the bathroom and I saw there was a puddle next to where the paper towels are dispensed, you know what I did? I didn't step on the fucking puddle, but everyone else stepped on the puddle. Respect yourself. Just be like, look, that's a disgusting puddle. Don't step in it. It's not that hard.
Yeah. Puddle steppers.
I feel like that was an Adam Carolla rant.
William, anything else to add to this?
I... There's so much to add, but it's already been said. I mean, don't panic. Don't rush out and buy toilet
paper. Don't panic, it's longer now.
It's not necessary. I think what my takeaway from this whole situation is I am seeing the stripes of people who want government intervention, right? I'm seeing this natural instinct for takeover happening when really we should be super suspicious and require a very high threshold for government to take action, right? And the whole city governments declaring states of emergency, I don't see that as anything but a cynical money and power grab at this point. They don't do it for the flu. Why are they doing it for this? Wait, show me the numbers that back this up.
Yes. And I'll leave you with one stat, which I found buried in the WHO data. WHO? Data.
Yes.
Averaging even all age ranges of fatalities, including the 80-plus age range of fatalities of the WHO data, which is the worst-case scenario, I think.
The average is 80.
Patients who reported no pre-existing conditions across age ranges had a fatality rate of 0.9%. 0.9. That is certainly higher than the flu. But again, across all age ranges, if you have no pre-existing conditions, 0.9%. Calm down.
I was going to say something to what William said, but I can't remember it now. I can't remember it. William, what did you say? Repeat it.
No, let's move on.
Power grab.
What transition do? Oh, power
transition
grab.
Like this. It's time for Hopeful Romantic with JML.
Cue the music.
Put me into syndication. Broadcast to a network station of people viewing their favorite episodes. I can't find a new pitch to throw the studio. I need a rerun to better cast the next series of events. In the air timeline lapse, my made-for-TV type was written off. In the last season when I wasn't focused on.
As always, if you want to join the conversation during the week, join our Discord. We've been having a lot of great conversation lately, actually. I've been really happy with the Discord. It's really made my life more enjoyable. We've had different contributions from different people. Trailer Takedown Dan was giving us some insight into what it's like in San Francisco dealing with the bad cold. And then William said he's still coming here to Orlando even if his conference is canceled. So exciting things going on in Discord. Join that. For the review this week, I wanted to review Onward originally, the Pixar movie I'm super excited for. It came out the weekend we're recording this episode. But unfortunately, due to high school wrestling, which I am helping coach, as I've said before, there was a Florida State Wrestling Championships. Went super late. I wasn't able to get to the theater in time. So I'm going to have to see Onward at a later time and talk about it. I said that to everyone. Daniel said he would review Avenue 5, the new show on HBO that we all talked about the trailer positively about, the one where Hugh Laurie is captain of a cruise ship in space. It also stars Josh Gad, Zach Woods, who was on The Office in Silicon Valley. So I went and I watched the first episode. and I have a couple things to say about it. The first is I would describe it as Voyager, Star Trek Voyager, meets House, meets Silicon Valley. So if you watched all three of those shows like I did, you would enjoy it. Especially Voyager, because at one point I was like, and William, I don't know if you watched it, but at one point an actor started speaking and I was like, that's Neelix. So it's crazy to see the guy who played Neelix back on a sci-fi show that's similar to Voyager. And then at the beginning of the episode, Daniel, when the first episode, when he was walking and talking with the Asian lady, and then he was making the jokes about the lady being deaf, I literally had to pause the show and I was like, don't do this to me. Don't do this. Because I was getting super House vibes from it. Like right at the beginning, I was getting House vibes because he's even doing the same House accent, like to a T. And then he makes those jokes like she's deaf in both ears. And then he said something else to the Asian lady. I was like, oh my God, this is just going to be House again. Now, it's not House. It's House with a twist. And there's something done with the accents that's very intentional. But he does have that sort of dry sarcasm that works so well with House. And that's the thing about all the people on the show, even Zach Woods. I feel like Zach Woods is just playing his Silicon Valley character. His delivery, even the lines are the same. It's to the point that, like, I'm wondering if these people are ad-libbing these lines. Because Zach Woods was... If you've seen Silicon Valley, his character Jared, I was thinking of his name as Jared the whole time. I don't even know his character's name because he was just acting like Jared from Silicon Valley. So it's very well cast, and there's a lot of good stuff. I'm waiting to see how it develops more because the first episode was a lot of premise. But I'm definitely going to keep watching. What do you think, Daniel?
I think that's right. The first episode was a ton of premise, but this is typical of... shows written by Armando Iannucci. I can never remember his name, but he wrote Veep, and he's written some other British political shows, and that's mostly what he's known for, is writing political comedy that's all about talking, people in a room talking. He's sort of like the comic Aaron Sorkin, if you will. And so I saw this show as... I've never watched Voyager, so I didn't get that part. So I just said it like this. It was Veep plus Silicon Valley on a spaceship. And I think the premise was enough to keep me. I've watched the other six episodes that are available, and that has definitely kept me going. It is, in many ways, a modern take on a farce. So, keywords for this show. And insofar as it, the jokes continue to build on themselves as the series goes, and they get sort of bigger and more grand and more farcical. So it starts off a little bit realistic, and then it tends to get crazier and crazier and crazier and crazier. And I think that makes it quite enjoyable. Some of the humor is very subtle, and if you're not paying very close attention, so I typically have, I'm one of those people who has a second screen typically when I'm watching stuff, and I will miss some jokes and have to go back. But if you like subtle humor delivered brilliantly, I think, by the actors, you will enjoy this show. And if you don't like to pay attention, if you just want something where the jokes are more laugh out loud funny or more in your face funny, probably not the show for you. But I also don't, I mean, if you like Veep or if you like Silicon Valley, I think you'll like this.
The point you make about the screens is very well taken, because probably the best thing I can say about the show is I was going to sit down and like play games on my phone while I was watching it, and I couldn't. I had to put the phone down to pay attention, and I wanted to put the phone down to pay attention. So that's probably a stellar review in today's day and age. The reason I'm comparing it to Voyager, William, is originally they were going to be on a cruise for how many days, Daniel? Like,
it was
nine?
Like 8 weeks.
Oh, 8 weeks. Okay. I knew it was eight or nine or something, but something happens and they get thrown off course, and it's going to be a 3-year trip rather than a 9-week. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
So very much like that in that way, except it's more of a comedic take on it, which is great because I wasn't a big Voyager fan. So
nope. Give me more Deep Space Nine, not more Voyager. That's for
yeah.
Sure.
Hmm. Let's think of a comedic Deep Space Nine to pitch people. And while we do that, why don't we talk about
Deep Space 69.
I don't know why that porn was never made, by the way. Anyway, why don't we figure all this out? Why don't we watch some trailers and talk about them, right? And you can watch them right now on themidside.com. Actually, I haven't put the trailer takedown preview up yet. But Blame High School Wrestling, it'll be up. You can watch it before the episode, during the episode, after the episode, however you want to do it. Just go to themidside.com and you can watch Trailer Takedown. We're going to talk about those now.
Trailer Takedown. First trailer.
Candyman is the sequel to the original Candyman movie, and this one is produced and written by, can you guess, Daniel? Who is it produced and written by?
I really don't know, so I'm going to guess, because I wasn't paying any attention to the trailer.
Well, I can tell you, I can make you figure it out. It's not even going to be a guess. Candyman is an iconic horror movie that deals with black people.
Jordan Peele.
Correct.
Woo.
It also stars the guy who played Black Dr. Manhattan in the Watchmen series.
I think he was just called Dr. Manhattan in the series, but...
I just still cannot get over the fact that Dr. Manhattan was wearing blackface and nobody called them out on it. He literally found a black face and wore it. Sorry. Anyway, this trailer looks like Jordan Peele was like, you know what? I know what worked in Us and Get Out, and I'm just going to do it with a franchise that already exists to print some money. I mean, the Destiny's Child remake, where they're like, they do Say My Name, but in like the similar to the I Got Five on It song, because that made the I Got Five on It made Us seem a lot better than it was. Again, conceptually, that's good. But here's the other problem with this movie, okay? Look, first of all, the original Candyman, tremendous. Tony Todd, tremendous. It's sort of like his Jigsaw, right? When you look at Tobin Bell and Jigsaw, tremendous villains, tremendous acting, tremendous movies, iconic roles. Great, I'm glad they exist. But, and I'm predicting a similar thing to happen in the new Saw trailer, the new Saw movie Spiral, where I think Samuel Jackson's going to become the new Jigsaw, or Spiral, they're going to call him rather than Jigsaw, is my prediction there. I think they're telegraphing this, and I hate to say this, right? Because I always hated people who said, oh, well, M. Night Shyamalan movies are bad because you can predict what's going to happen. Well, I'm sorry, I've been able to predict every Jordan Peele movie from the trailers. And I don't know, maybe that makes me a hypocrite? But I think that makes them terrible. The first one and Get Out, I knew that it was a honeypot situation. The second one, I knew that she had switched roles with that girl. And in this one, what they're doing is they're trying to reboot the franchise, and they're going to make Black Dr. Manhattan become the new Candyman and take over the mantle from Tony Todd. You know, just like they tried to do with Shia LaBeouf and Harrison Ford with the shitty Indiana Jones movie with the interdimensional aliens. So as much as I love Candyman and Tony Todd's performance, I hate Jordan Peele. And we need to stop trying to make this Mateen guy happen as like the new hot black actor. Just stop it. Nobody likes him. Tackle.
Different take from me, mostly just that I'm not into horror, and this didn't really do anything to change my mind. The concept of, like, jump scares is weird to me. I just don't... Like, it's so effed out. Like, why do we deal with this still? And, I don't know. The original Candyman was really effing scary as a child, and I don't really need to relive that and add more to my therapy lineup. So, tackle.
Tackle.
William.
I would rather watch the original and also wouldn't watch the original. I, too, am not a horror fan, so this is a pretty obvious tackle for me as well.
Tackle.
But that is a good takeaway. If you like horror, watch the original. Just don't watch this. Just watch the original.
Second trailer.
Greyhound is a submarine movie starring Tom Hanks with terrible dialogue. And I say that because the beginning of the trailer's fine. And then he has that scene with the woman. Is it Elizabeth Shue? Yeah, it's Elizabeth Shue. She has the scene with Elizabeth Shue, and I was like, is she that bad of an actress, or is the dialogue that bad? And then as the trailer went on, I was just like, this dialogue is terrible. I was like, this movie looks like it's supposed to be good, especially because Tom Hanks in it, but this is terrible to listen to. And then it said, written by Tom Hanks, and I went, oh. I'm done with war movies. I'm done with Tom Hanks movies. Why does Tom Hanks get to write movies now? Fuck off. Tackle.
Tackle.
I wasn't angry, Daniel.
You're always angry.
I'm always. It's
Boston. What's in your soul. Okay, so here's my thing with especially modern war movies, and now a war movie about submarines and the ocean and
Tom Hanks. Enough women and minorities.
Yeah, that, I mean that. You perfect tackle. No, just kidding. Still tackle, but for different reasons. Everything is so gray. It's so gray. Justin, there's so much gray. To recycle a Lewis Black joke, I want to slit my wrist just to see color. There's so much gray. I literally couldn't tell the good submarines from the bad, and like they had similar markings, and I was watching the trailer, and I just couldn't... Even in the trailer, it was difficult for me to discern what the hell was going on just from the... So I couldn't watch 2 hours of gray with this terrible dialogue. And Tom Hanks, who just plays Tom Hanks now. Tackle.
I actually had the same problem. But then I remembered the battle scene from Game of Thrones, and I was like, this isn't that bad.
You think we would have
William,
learned...
different take?
You think we would have learned by now not to travel with Tom Hanks. Tackle.
Tackle. Final trailer.
Connected is an animated movie from Sony Pictures by Christopher Lord and... I said their names wrong, didn't I, Daniel? What are their names?
I don't know.
The two guys who did the Lego movie and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Lord and Miller.
Lord Phil, and Taylor?
Yeah, Lord and Taylor. No, Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. See, I knew I got them mixed up. Okay, so this trailer was cut wrong. It's too long. It spoils too much. That's what I'm going to say. Okay? Because I hated the first half of this trailer. I was like, we're making a naturalistic animated movie? Like, this is terrible. Like, well, you know, this is kind of realistic with the screen time and everything, but this is fucking painful to watch the dad get upset about everything, and like the dad's acting completely reasonable and the kid's just being fucking insane. But still, it's all reasonable. But I was like, I would never watch this movie. And then halfway through, it's like, or no, not even halfway, 3/4 of the way through, it's like, oh, and by the way, robot apocalypse, and this family's going to fight the robot apocalypse. And I was like, I'm in, because that's a great premise. It's what I love about romanticism, right? Where you take a realistic idea and you push it to 90 and then you see what happens. And the realistic idea is like, what's this family that's dealing with how we're so hyper-connected nowadays, but it's making us less connected. Now, what if we take that conflict, we push it to 90 and have this average family have to deal with it and save the world? That's a great premise. This is why Lord and Miller are such good writers, such good producers, because they can come up with this. They're good storytellers. And I don't know about the animation and everything. You can talk about that. I wasn't really big into the dog jokes, but I think those are for children, not for me. So for me, for everything I just said, I'm hugging this.
Hug.
Daniel?
Yeah, I the trailer was strange, wasn't it? Just weird trailer to spend so much time on the relationship there between the father and the daughter. I had a similar thought, which is I kept thinking, is this going to go anywhere, or is this just an animated documentary about these two people? And then it went to the moon. My God, did it go somewhere. But I'm not so sure I liked where it went, or at least how it was integrated. Hopefully the movie is better integrated than that. You'd have to say it basically had to be, otherwise they wouldn't have made it. But the hard, hard turn in the trailer made it really jarring to watch. So I didn't like the trailer, but I'm pretty much in. The animation's a little grotesque, and I don't like grotesque animation. especially with the eyes. That makes it strange, but they're trying to go sort of anti-cute, sort of like anti-Pixar. So that might be too grating ultimately, but I think I'm in on this. It's a very light hug.
Netflix and hug.
William?
Yeah, I too almost shut the preview off and then enjoyed the second half of the preview. This animation style bothers me though, and so I'm very much sitting on the fence. I am probably going to enjoy this at home, so I think I'm also Netflix and hug.
Netflix and hug.
All right, gentlemen, that brings us to the end of our trip. Let's put a bow on it. What did we learn? Daniel?
Me first. Fine. I learned that the media and the American public cannot do math, exemplified not only by the coronavirus, but by your opening joke about Bloomberg, essentially. And that I've never, even though I also can't do math, I've never been so pro-math in my life as I am right now at 35 years old.
William?
I can't wait for the corona scare to cause me to be able to ride Space Mountain 18 times in one day when I go visit Justin in a very short amount of time. Justin, what did you learn?
Oh, that's true. I didn't think of that. I mean, maybe we can get on Rise of Resistance really quickly now, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I might come to Florida just for that.
Midside! What's that called? Retreat! Midside retreat in Disney World! Elliot, please get us into the parks.
We hope you learned something this week, especially as it relates to statistics and mortality rates.
I guess that's what I learned. Okay.
Oh, yeah, you. You're still here.
Well, that's fine. I learned that I could probably get on Rise of Resistance quicker. That's fine. Go ahead.
Sorry, host. Speaking of virus. Dad joke. If you learned something this week, please tweet it out to the world and quickly so that my retirement plan doesn't go to zero. Let us know at The Midside everywhere on social medias, especially the Twitters. And you can tell us on Discord. Join there, please. You can go to themidside.com/podcast, listen to past episodes. And themidside.com/store to get your Midside merch. Maybe we should have a coronavirus-related shirt at some point. You know, topical humor and whatnot. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Google Play to get these published to you the moment that Justin uploads them. Give us a 5-star rating. That helps out. And thanks to Liberty.me for syndicating us to our libertarian friends out there. Much appreciated. Patreon.com/TheMidside. Couple bucks. Content. Lights on. All that stuff. Tell a friend. Tell a friend. Tell a friend. And until next time, we love you.
This concludes your journey into The Midside. I'm Justin M. Lesneski reminding you that if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Have a virus-free day. The year is 2060. The world's been ravaged by coronavirus. Everyone over 60 is dead. And the archaeologists dig up this podcast. What do they think?
Man, these guys were cool. Wish I could hang out with these guys. Especially that guy with the really high woman-sounding voice.
Justin?
I'm really confused as to why they would care.
If only coronavirus would cancel something useful. I think William suggested taxes.
I did suggest taxes.
Yeah. Or, you know, the presidential election. We'll just go without one for 4 years. That'd be nice.
Well, that would just add to the Trump conspiracy theories that it's the Trump virus, because then it would be Trump created corona to start a dictatorship.
I think all building inspections and construction inspections should be canceled. So that way we can actually build shit.
Hooray for coronavirus.
I've never gotten the flu shot, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry about it.